Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy!
Many of you have been enjoying this roadblock series that we were talking about. Yes. This is part three today, week three. We just want to thank and honor our lead pastors. They are and deserved time off this week. They'll be back here next Sunday with us. But I just want to thank the honor and the privilege to share the word with you guys here this morning and to share on this series, because I really believe, I don't know about you, but roadblocks are present in our lives, right? How many of you experienced roadblocks last year? I would say maybe majority of us. How many of you experienced roadblocks this week? Yesterday. I know that they are real. I did. I woke up at 2:30 a.m. this morning with a screaming son saying, hey, it's time to get up, ready for the day. But it wasn't daytime. But anyways, I'm happy to be here. And the reality is that roadblocks are always present in our lives. We have challenges that we go through. But what really matters is how do we respond to the roadblocks that come our way, that come our direction, that come and that we are facing. We've been meditating on Philippians 4:8 as the theme and as the basis of this series, and we're going to go there today. But before we go there, two verses before, I really believe it's key if roadblocks and we are facing roadblocks. Philippians 4:6 is so key. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. This verse, Paul acknowledges, yes, that there is anxiety. And anxiety is a huge factor into today. It's a huge battle. The wars that we are warfaring this season are wars most times of our minds. The biggest sickness that is out there are sickness on the minds nowadays, with anxiety, depression, and so many other factors of this day. And if you look at the curve of levels of anxiety and depression after COVID, they just continue to go up. And there is a war going on, and Paul is acknowledging, recognizing this. Because anxiety, in fact, is an issue that needs to be addressed. And it comes many times to rob us from the faith that God has called us to walk in. One of the things that I was thinking about this verse is that God doesn't respond to our questioning. Sometimes we don't understand why some roadblocks, we're facing them, we're experiencing them. But God responds to our faith. The word of God in Matthew 6 goes on sharing about, and Jesus is sharing, don't worry about what you dress, what you eat. Because those are things that are on the outside. But what he said, but seek first the kingdom of God. And where is the kingdom? It's inside of you. When we spend too much time thinking on the things that on the outside, we are inviting anxiety. We're inviting roadblocks into our minds. And God wants to flip that occasion. The rest, I'll take care. Take care of what's the inside. Take care of your hearts in this season. I believe that everybody that is here this morning, God has a promise for your life. God has invited you into a life of abundance. A Christian life is not a boring life. Christian life is not a life without hope, without joy. No, everybody in this place, God has a promise for you. God has incredible words for you. He wants to see you win. As if you are a father in this room, you the same way you want to see your son win, your daughter win, he's a good father. And he has so many things prepared for you. I believe that God has promise prepared for every single one in this place. But how come I have not experienced those? What if God is just preparing you for those promises? Imagine if tomorrow comes and I begin just trusting my six-year-old to take care of the finances of her house. It'll be challenging. I'll be seeing some money go away on Minecraft, Roblox, not the series, but Roblox the game, and Dollarama, and so many other places. Money would start to go away, right? But because I am a good father, I know that I cannot trust and review everything that is in store for him. But as a good father, I can prepare a legacy for him to walking into his future life. I want to remind you, because God wants you to remind that he is a good father. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe because some of you, because of the relationship I have with you, I have some insight of what God's doing in your life. But I really believe that he wants to show himself and his goodness to you in this season. So let's go into the main verse of this series. Philippians 4:8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good reports, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." For the first 2 weeks of this series, Pastor Sean covered whatever things are true. Last week, he covered things that are noble, thinking on things that are noble. And today, we're going to hit the third part of this verse here, whatever things are just. So we are talking about today, thinking on things just. Yesterday, we were at the men's breakfast, and I asked the guys, what comes to your mind when you talk about things just? Well, let's take a look at what just really is on this passage. It derives from the Strong's root word. It's called dikaios. That means righteousness, observing divine laws in a wide sense, upright, righteous, virtuous, keeping the commandments of God. Let's read the same verse, the beginning of the same verse from the Amplified. "Finally, believers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable and worthy of respect, whatever is right and it's confirmed by God's word," then the ending of that verse is, "meditate on these things." If you look at all, I read pretty much all the versions that we have and translations that we have, you're going to see common words like whatever is right, whatever is just, whatever is fair, whatever is reputable, whatever is confirmed by God's word, or whatever is according to his commandments. Thinking on things just is thinking what's morally right. Thinking on things just is it's what's fair and just, not bitter or accusatory. It's thinking on things that align with God's perspective for any given situation. And thinking, does the thought that is coming through my mind, is it moving me towards God's righteousness? It's inviting God and asking God, how do you see this situation? Because there is one thing that is true, like we all have something called self-righteousness. That if we look through a certain ways, the ways that our eyes are naturally wired, you could become biased towards any situation. You could be thinking, oh, this is the fair way. We judge things by just looking at them. But what is God seeing beyond the appearance? What God's seeing beyond what our eyes can see? This is what thinking on things just is. And before we go much deeper and break this a little apart, we all have something in common in this room. We all have thoughts, right? Maybe right now you're thinking what you're going to do after church. Maybe right now you're thinking on other things that is distracting you from this message, not judging you, but thoughts come to our mind, and when you realize what you're thinking, you're maybe like so far from this place. You're thinking about your next vacation. You're thinking about so many things. But the reality is that our thoughts are powerful. There's so much power. Power to advance, power to create, power to destroy, power to move us, power to stop us. Thoughts have this capacity. And I was thinking about that and came across this statement: what you think creates destiny, opportunity. Your thoughts create opportunities for destinies in your life. And I'll explain to you how that's true. Guys in here probably looking like you were thinking about, Matt's thinking about his next truck that he's going to buy, and he come across this truck that he's never noticed or paid much attention. He started thinking about this, and all of a sudden what happens? He starts seeing that same truck driving around town. Have that ever happened to you? You just bought a new car, you never noticed that new car, and all of a sudden you're seeing it everywhere? Your thoughts are just creating and opening your awareness of what's around you. Or let's say you are growing up and you notice for the very first time this girl, and you never thought, oh, maybe she could be the one that God has for me. And then you start putting some thoughts and you start seeing your hearts open to that possibility, right? Yeah. Or even it happens that a woman would get pregnant and they have their baby, and all of a sudden all they're thinking about is baby stuff. Right? Does that happen? Uh-huh. Yeah. I see some guys agreeing to that. Need some attention here. It's not only about the baby, but who rules part of your mind will rule you completely. It's not by mistake that they put a crown to represent authority. It shows power. In a kingdom, who has power is the king. And it's put on the mind, it's put on the thoughts. Because God knows that they have so much power. Proverbs says, as a man thinks, so is he. So he is, depending on the translation. And that's true. It doesn't mean that, okay, now you're going to be seeing, I'm rich, then tomorrow you're going to become rich. But I can guarantee that if you want to walk into further prosperity in God in your life and you begin thinking on things, you're going to open your hearts and you're opening yourself to situations and connections. Who is walking? Who's winning on this field? And you're going to open yourself up to win in that field. Because yes, thoughts are powerful. And Paul is saying to us, hey, I need you to be careful what you're thinking in this season. Because what you're thinking can make room for your next season. If you're magnifying just the roadblocks ahead, if you're magnifying just the problems that you are facing, guess what? What you're going to attract? What you're going to be aware of? Yeah, more problems. There's something that we are seeing, it's so obvious and so in front of our eyes today, and it's called what? Algorithm. What is algorithm? It's a form of AI that studies your what you speak, what you're listening to, what you're paying attention, what you're researching, and it's prompting you and feeding you with those same things. You start seeing common ads pop up in your social media. And the reality is that the kingdom of God is not much different. There is a kingdom algorithm and a spiritual algorithm that Paul is saying here, hey, I believe that God is calling us to meditate on some key things that if you do so, you will win. If you do so, you will open yourself up to experience the peace of God that you are missing. That if you do so, that you are going to open yourself to being able to rejoice no matter the circumstances. You're opening yourself to think in a different way. The Word of God says numerous times that my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. The way He thinks is different. So we need to open ourselves and meditate on these things. You want to see things shift in your life? Let's, in this season, change the way that you were thinking about a situation. Approach it from a different perspective. We did an exercise this morning during our pre-experience prayer, saying we're not going to ask for anything. We're just going to thank God. We're just going to thank God, because this is the Philippians 4:6, where we are, do not be anxious, but with everything present yourself with thanksgiving. Begin thanking God and you will see atmosphere. You will see things that you are battling today start to shift. You're opening your hearts for what God wants to do in your season. By the end of last year, God started to speak to me about a word of the New Testament, a word where the people of God, they were just before entering the promised land. They were right there, 40 years into the desert. And they're getting close to that moment that could change things once and for all. And I know that in our lives we have many moments of that expectation. And I believe that this message that actually God began giving me last year applies so much on how we can think on things just when we are facing roadblocks, but yet when we're about to enter into the next season that God has for us. And I believe that as closer we are to the promised land, more are the roadblocks that we will see. I want to read to you guys, it's 9 verses here. Numbers 13, 1, 2, 3. The Lord now said to Moses, send out men to explore the land of Canaan, the land that I'm giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of the 12 ancestral tribes. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he sent 12 men, all the leaders of Israel, from their camp into the wilderness. We're going to skip to verse 27. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces, and they present it. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Then verse 30, then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against that people, for they are much stronger than we are. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out. I gave you a little bit of the context that they were there. 40 years since they left Egypt, wandering in the desert. When is the promise going to come? Then the promise is right there in front of their faces. And what do? They fear. They stop. And I know we're super spiritual and say, oh, we should just go, you know, in advance. But the reality is that in our lives, in the moments of our biggest promises, or in your biggest moments that you experience, could it be your wife is about to give birth to your kid? Like, we feel prepared, but in that moment, in the moment that is about to happen, what happens many times? We freak out, right? You could be 100% sure that if you're going to ask your wife that if she was going to marry you, she's going to say yes, but still in the very moments where you're going to kneel down, what's happening? Fear kicks in. It's normal. There is some sort. We experience that stuff. We're not here to deny. Paul wasn't denying the fact that anxiety is real. But he's encouraging, how can we look past that? How can we see beyond that? And it is okay if it's scary. Actually, could be a good sign that it is a God thing for you. If it's too easy, be watchful. Be alert, because it might not be. I want to go back to this passage, verse 30, and we're going to break this down, this verse today. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go all at once and take possession, for we are all able to overcome." We have some elements here. Number one, quiet the voices. I believe that's a key that God has for us, that when we walk with him, we need to learn to silence some voices. Sometimes those voices would be just the natural way that you are wired, that you approach a situation, that you get towards something. Or I don't know if it ever happened to you, you get super excited, you hear this word from God, and then you start sharing with your family, with your friends, and they're like, "Oh, are you sure? That sounds kind of crazy. Maybe you shouldn't do that. No, maybe you should be a little more careful. No, I think you're being too committed to this thing called Kingdom of God." I don't know about you, but I've heard those statements before. And we need to learn how to discern those statements and to learn to quiet them. Two people out of those 12, and we're not simply talking about any 12. Those 12s were leaders. They were guys that were prepared. They were prepared for war. That Moses was probably pouring on their life, showing things that God did with him that most of the people might not have access. We're talking about some leaders here. So we need to, even in the midst of those things, learn to quiet some voices. I wrote this down. The worst thing you can do is hear advice from someone that doesn't push you to your prophetic destiny. Know the voices that you are surrounding yourself. Who are you hearing? Who are you giving ears to? And sometimes those voices will come, and I think it's what Paul was saying, they will come as thoughts because of a challenge that you are facing. Or because of like a snowball of challenges that you're facing. You begin saying, "Okay, I struggled through this, and this so happened in my journey, then I have to face this," and it feels that I'm always solving crises. I'm always solving situations. I had last year a very open and honest conversation with Pastor Sean that I was frustrated at a certain situation, and I'm just being honest and vulnerable here with you guys. Like after, I remember when we lost our second son, Jonathan, and then Nicholas came around, I said, "This is like a redemption season for us." And right on his birth, like when Nicholas was born, like he struggled for his life. He was taken into a resurrection room. And it was like fight from day zero. Then when he was 6 months old, we started noticing that we would call his name and he wouldn't respond to us. And more challenges started to coming until a point where last year, after doing some studies and honestly doing through the like private clinics here in Canada, investigating him, and we found out a diagnosis of autism with Nicholas, that I had a moment of like I'm tired. I honestly thought that, okay, Jonathan would mark a new season for us, that we just experience victories from now on. And now we're seeing more battles, more challenges. And these voices, voices of shame, voices of condemnation, what am I doing wrong in this season? Why do I have to go through that? But I remember, after a few conversations, I'm so grateful for our lead pastors and for a fresh perspective that they brought into the situation. God began to shift our hearts to think and to see beyond a human diagnosis. That God has a beautiful purpose for Nicholas. And God is working his life and he's working in our lives in this season. And when we started shifting perspective, things that were roadblocks, for example, we had to pay over, we blew our yearly budget for like consultations with private clinics studying Nicholas and his case over 60 hours, man. We had to record so many videos of him. And we blew our budget over like $1,200. And we came around House of Hearts like it was our most challenging House of Hearts, said, God, we're going to trust you, but it's really hard in this season financially for us. What's going to happen? Because how much more private consultations are going to need in this year? And writing that week, it was when I gave the testimony that someone paid for our trip to Brazil that we had due this April, because my sister is getting married and we needed, like, we're going to fly all the family, and we didn't right now had the resources, and someone came in and stepped in and gave us that trip. So when you shift your perspective, you start inviting the goodness of God into a situation that although your situation may seem hard, although your diagnosis may seem impossible, that God has the final word. And he is a good father. And I can quiet the lies that started coming into my head that I myself created. I'm not here to blame anyone else but myself. But it is a battle. But it is aligning. Hey, God, are those thoughts that I'm thinking, are they just? Are they according to your righteousness? Are they according to the plan that you have for my son's life? Are they according to what you have for my life? And when you begin to inviting and meditating on these things, you welcome yourself into, okay, now I'm shifting. I'm being able to move into what I can call the second point. It is, let us go. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, and he said, let us go up at once. I want to say that many times in their life, I can use this example that I just gave to you guys, you won't feel like moving. We want 1,000 confirmations from God. Is this the right step? Is this the next move that I need to take? Is this what I should be doing in this season? But something that I see all throughout Scripture as I study from Abraham to all the heroes of the faith is that God many times didn't give the whole playbook. This is how it's going to be. But he gave the first step. In Genesis 12:1 says, the Lord said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. He didn't say, go into this land, it's located on this streets, it's located on this address. No, I will show you. The direction was clear, but the place was not revealed. But one thing was revealed, a place that he was not supposed to be. You're supposed to leave this place, leave your country, leave your relatives. And if you are an immigrant like me, you know you've been through that, and it's not easy all the time. You don't have the comfort sometimes of like having family close to you. It is a step. And let me tell you, with God, your walk with him, the middle of the journey, some days, it will be scary. Because he's inviting you into a walk of faith. All you can do, step by step. Do the thing that he asks you. He will honor. He will reveal the next. The problem is, anxiety is so intense in our lives today that we want to have our next 10 years figure it out. I know I'm not saying against planning. I'm all for it. I love planning. But things with God, the kingdom of God, is upside down. Things are not according to my own righteousness, to my own way that I look at things. One of the things that so interesting that in my journey in getting married to my wife, I always wanted to get married early. I didn't do as early as I thought. I thought I was gonna date this, get married to this girl that I was dating in my university years. I shared this once. I even went to an engagement ring store, like went to buy. But as soon as I stepped in, I felt sadness all over the place, and I felt God saying to me, "Wait." That's all I heard. But later on, I finally met the woman of my woman of my dreams, my wife, and then I got married to her. And one of the most exciting, one of the most exciting things, because one of the things that we were talking when we were dating is that we wanted to go overseas. We wanted to actually leave Brazil. And all those things were happening. I got married to her. We found a beautiful home in Connecticut. I got a new job there. It was everything was in perfect alignment to be smooth, a smooth ride. But all of a sudden, as soon as I stepped foot into that city in East Haven, Connecticut, I've been through something in my life that I never expected I would have been through, which was going through depression. And things didn't happen. I say, hey, I'm with the woman of my dreams. I am in the place that I wanted to be. I wanted to leave Brazil. I have this beautiful home here in Connecticut. Why am I feeling this way? And I couldn't explain. Of course, I had a situation with my workplace that made things very difficult. But not to blame on that situation. I was going through a growth. I was like finally like a man, you know, like I'm head of this house, what I need to provide for my family. And going through that weight of responsibility, of authority, and God wanted to work things inside my heart. I didn't expect it to have to face depression. And in trying to explain to my wife, hey, I love you so much, you're not the reason for this. But I could put myself in her shoes and see, hey, like all of a sudden this guy is like all crying and what's happening? And I couldn't, because I was like, if you know me, like I'm always, you know, like I'm always laughing, I'm always having a good time. And I couldn't recognize myself. And I begin, of course, looking for help. And one of the things that I find that is key here in this place, and I'm not diminishing the medical power. I did use medicine to, like, supply things that were missing in my brain, whatever. I'm not here to say that also God cannot heal you supernaturally, because I did actually go through experience after, a little after we moved to Canada, where I got healed supernaturally, because I was starting seeing those same symptoms come again. And we prayed and we stand and we saw those leave through supernaturally. But I believe that there are people in this place that maybe if you are struggling with anxiety, God showed me one key this week, looking at this passage of Abram, or even if you look at the story of Elijah, I won't have time to go dig into that passage. But he goes and hides himself in a cave. And he doesn't want to leave that place. What God says to him, I can read that in the beginning of the verse, in verse 9 of 1 Kings 9. What are you doing here, Elijah? Then on verse 11 says, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. When Onyeka and the team were singing the song, We Need a Move, I really believe this morning has an opportunity for you, if you are struggling with depression or anxiety. But let me tell you something. The move starts in you. The kingdom of God works. Knock, and He will open the door. Would you take the first step into His direction? That let us go is strong. So if you are facing depression, if you are facing anxiety, there's no shame in that. God loves you. He's working inside of you. He has not given up on you. But I believe supernaturally, that you will have a let us go moments inside of you that will move you. That this morning would be a morning that will create movements that you have not seen for the last maybe year, 2, 3, 4 years in your life. The interesting thing about this passage of Elijah in the cave, did you know that right after our COVID and right after the pandemic, how did the doctors define one of the syndromes post-COVID? The cave syndrome. It's a non-medical term used during COVID to describe the intense fear, anxiety, and reluctance of people that many people felt about returning to normal pre-pandemic life and social interactions, even all after all the restrictions were lifted. Anxiety and depression rob you from one of the most important things that you need in your life, which is community, which is people beside you. The people that when roadblocks come your way, that maybe they feel too strong for you to grab a hold. It's people, leaders around your life that are going to stand you. So I want to declare that this room will be, we will be free from any cave that we put ourselves into in this season. That the God will move inside of our spirits this morning. And there will be a shift in our minds. And you don't need to figure out everything, guys. All you need to do is the next step. Elijah, that was the word. Go out. Abram was the word. Go out and I will show myself to you. I can guarantee that Caleb had the same thought. He didn't know how they were going to defeat all those giants. He wasn't denying the giants of the land. He wasn't denying that people were stronger there. But he said, let's go. Because what? God said so. This is my land. This is my promise. This is my territory. And the church won't lose any more territory in this season. We need to advance. We need to move. Number three, take possession. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let's go up all at once and take possession. The word for possession is yarash. Yarash. A primitive root saying to occupy. The translation of this verse in Portuguese says to possess an inheritance. And what is inheritance? It's something I didn't buy or conquer, but God conquered before me, or someone did before your life. As I was saying in the beginning, God has a promise for you. He already conquered that land, and He is preparing you for that promise. So possess what's yours by inheritance. Think of things that are of your inheritance. You want to think things just? What is God? What does the word has to say for me? One of the definitions of just is according to the word of God. I can stand according on a truth, on the truth that God has set for me. And I can advance. I can take possession. And Caleb is saying, I will not allow anybody to steal what's mine. If you knew your grandparent had left an inheritance in your name, I can guarantee that anybody in this room here would be fighting for it. You would do whatever you could to go take what's yours. The same thing is in the kingdom of God. God is saying, hey, hello, let's go. Have some things in store for you. I need the people to wake up. The times are not getting any easier. If you look at the circumstances, maybe they are not too much in our favor. But guess what? My promise is still true. I still need to get up and take what's yours by possession. Step on it and take what's yours. Number four, we're able to overcome. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, said, let's go and take possession, for we are able to overcome. If you are in this place, you're called to win. Because Jesus already conquered your victory. The very last verse of that passage in Numbers, from verse 32 to 33, it says, 33, there we saw the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sights, and so were we in their sights. In their own sight, they saw themselves as grasshoppers. And then what happened? They became just like that. Your thoughts create opportunities for destinies. They already consider themselves to be defeated. Everyone, if you watched, it was the first time ever of my son in the theaters. We brought him to, actually Cineplex, this room just beside us, to watch David. Everyone saw Goliath as a giant. Only David saw him as an opportunity. What if behind your biggest giant, your biggest roadblock in this season is the biggest opportunity that God has for you? And I know that's true. And I know that God, you can only know that God is a God that loves if you ever lacked love. If you can, you only know that you need a God of strength if you lack strength in this season and you saw supernaturally God come through you and bring you a strength that you can't explain. If I look at my life, and I think I was sharing this with someone the other day, when I moved into a Christian school, all the guys that brought me to Jesus today, they are far from God. And it's sad, but the only reason I can't explain why I'm still walking with him, it's because of him. It's because I saw his hand. It's because I saw what he can do. So in this season, God is inviting you to shift the way that you're thinking for your biggest roadblock. I don't know if your biggest roadblock this week, I hit a financial roadblock this season, that this week, that I didn't know how I was going to overcome it. And it happens. And so sometimes it's a physical healing, or it's a relationship that needs restoration. I want you to know that there is power behind that roadblock. That same Goliath revealed how Saul was scared, but also revealed David's courage. If you don't learn to win against the giants that are on the inside, you will never have the grace to overcome the giants on the outside. The thing is, there are giants that God will put in your way. But there are some other giants that we usually put in our way that God never intended for them to be there. If you look at even David's life, Goliath was a giant that God put in his way. But Sheba wasn't. It was a giant that he created. Sorry if I said it wrong. It's hard to say those English names, but... I know the translation. The thing is, there are many giants that we create ourselves. And God is inviting you, hey, get out. That cave was never meant for Elijah. He created that cave. He found that cave. God never sent him there. That's why we need to get out, so that he can go back into action. Hey God, take ownership, take the wheel. We know that of Noah's Ark, everything that was created to be there was everything but a steering wheel on that ship. Everything was in that ark, but God was the one directing. They didn't need a steering wheel. So it's inviting God back where you disconnected with his presence. The worship team can come back up. I believe that the greatest wars that we are fighting today are wars on the inside. The challenge that came from outside, let me tell you, God, he will make a way. I want to finish by reading Psalm 19, the commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the hearts. The commandments of the Lord are clear, giving insights for living. When we choose to think of things right, of things just, we are bringing joy to our hearts. We're inviting Him to give insight in this season. I want us to, if we can sing that song again, The Move of God. I want us to all to stand. We're going to sing that again. But I believe maybe we need to sing, we need to move so that we can receive a move. And I want you to invite to bring to the forefront of your mind your biggest roadblock in this season. And we're going to pray. And I believe, yes, let together we will go. And if you need strength after we worship some more to that song, the ministry team will be at front. Come and ask for prayer. Don't leave this place without something shifting or something moving in your life towards the promises that He has called you to walk in. Amen.